Welcome to Toffee Blue Opposition View again. I am Jerry, and I'm back with another pretty cool interview opportunity. You know, we've got Watford coming up this weekend, and I actually get to talk to John, who is a Watford supporter who also runs From the Rookery End. It's a podcast, blog site, fan site, by supporters, for supporters. It's a pretty cool thing. So, yeah, here's John. Welcome, man.
Thanks a lot. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Watford, it seems like it's a pretty good season to be a Watford supporter.
I would say recently it's been a very good time to be a Watford supporter. And, you know, we're not all you high-level Everton fans who have been in the Premier League for many, many years. We've had our owners, the Pozzos, for 5 years now. And ever since that's happened, they really sort of brought a bit more life to the club. You know, we were used to being a championship side, and you may say we was happy there. But we've sort of developed, they've helped develop the squad, and, you know, we're now in our third year in the Premier League. And at the moment, being here is just fun and games. But particularly this season, because things are going quite well.
Right. I mean, you've got, you're currently sitting 8th, 4-3-3. I mean, you're coming off two losses, but they're two tough games. One of them was to Chelsea, and before that you beat Arsenal. I mean, things are going all right. So you've got Silva now as your manager. How have things changed under him? Like, differences between before and now?
Well, we were, in many ways, the squad has changed this year. But actually, it isn't the squad that's the most important change. We always felt last year with Walter Mazzarri that we were a team that wasn't the sum of its parts. We had the players who did shine, and we beat Arsenal last year 2-1 at their place. And they certainly performed well that day, and we beat Manchester United 3-1 at home. But then we lost away at Burnley, and we weren't consistent. And it seemed to be that I think the individual players stepped up when they wanted to step up in the big games. But as a squad, as a team, we weren't sort of together, weren't cohesive. And that's what Marco's definitely been able to do. He's much more of a man manager, I think, rather than a master tactician, even though he is a good tactician. And that's what seems to have brought the best out of these players. Plus, we brought in a few players over the summer. And there's more of, a character to the team of it being a slightly younger, energetic team. And that sort of really brings... He's able to bring that out with his sort of management style.
I have to mention this, and I totally didn't even mention it earlier, but he's been mentioned in the Everton manager search. I don't think that's going to happen because I think he's got a pretty good gig at Watford right now, and it's mid-season. But how long do you think? Do you think it's a situation where if he continues to succeed, he will kind of move on, or does he seem kind of like he's pretty happy there?
I think he's, you know, if you look at where he was before he came to Watford, he had shone at Hull. He'd done very well for what they had and the time they had. And everybody was after him. And he chose Watford. And he chose Watford, I think, mainly because of our infrastructure. He knew he wasn't going to go straight for the big, big jobs. So, yeah, they have stepping stones. And working in the Premier League must be better than working back at home in Portugal. And we have changed a lot of managers over the last 5 years. But that's not a necessary problem. We have a scouting structure. We have a managerial structure. We have a management structure that has grown and grown and grown. And actually, they're not the manager. They're the head coach. And their job is to come in and to work with the recruitment team to add to what we've already got, to use their wealth of knowledge that the Pozzo family have had since the mid-'80s in Udinese. So he's come in and be able to do that. And I think that's why he chose Watford. So why would he move on, let alone move to Everton? Now, I don't think at this point he is... I honestly don't think Everton's a stable club, as my outside perspective. It's got the potential, but it hasn't got the stadium yet. Right. And we know that the ups and downs that lots of teams have gone through when they change stadiums. A lot of money was spent, but doesn't seem to be spent that well. It might work out, it might not. And that just sort of shows maybe that the signs are they as an organisation, what he wants to sort of move on to. He does need, you know, before he goes to, you know, 2 weeks before that would be Arsenal. Of course, everyone says, oh, well, and all the media say, oh, well, you know, maybe he could take over from Arsene Wenger. You know, he is at that place as a manager where you need to make the right choices. You know, he knows that he can shine for a certain amount of time. He knows that he may quite quickly, you know, a run of five, no, let's say three or four losses for whatever reason, because of injury, not just because of bad management. All of a sudden, Watford aren't at the top. And all of a sudden, he's not shining quite the same.
Right.
But I think he knows he has to prove himself not just over half a season, across a season. And I think if he went, let's say, at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think if he stayed for 2 years, that'd be much better.
Right.
Gotcha. For us and for him.
Getting back to this season, who's actually surprised you? It could be newcomers. It could be players who were with you before this year. Who's done more than you expected?
I think the biggest surprise, let's say, has been several players who have sort of come in. One being Richarlison, who is the young, hot Brazilian, and he plays like a young, hot Brazilian. He runs, he heads, Brazilians don't always do, but he's showing the flair, to raise the excitement out of the crowd, and particularly for such a young player. When we had John Barnes at Watford in the 80s, the minute he got the ball, there was a raise in energy. You know, what could he do with the ball? And there's certainly that feeling with Richarlison. In terms of players that we've had before, I think we are seeing the best out of or better out of those players on a more regular basis. But one particular one is Abdoulaye Doucouré, who is a young French player who came last year, didn't really feature the first part of the season, ended up getting into the side, mainly due to injury, but starting to prove himself. But he has absolutely come on. And he really is thriving as one of our central midfielders alongside Tom Cleverley, who we brought back. Because he was up with us to Watford, 2010, as a loanee when he was Manchester United player. And he has just come back and it's like he's never been away. And I think he's really sort of been able to lead a bit more and to be a much bigger cog in the Watford machine than he would have been in, say, the Everton machine. And certainly a bigger cog than he would have been in the Manchester United machine.
Right.
So the three of them in midfield, along with Nathaniel Chalobah, who we bought from Chelsea, who again had been with us before on loan in the first season of the Pozzos. He's injured at the moment. He's been out. But actually, those three of those midfields, Cleverley, Chalobah and Doucouré, were on fire. Being the year, they just literally clicked, and they were doing really, really well. So that's where we are, and I think those three sort of are the key. We also got Roberto Pereira, who we bought from Juventus, which is always a crazy thing that Watford are buying players from Juventus. And he was injured at most of last season. He turned up, played a bit, got injured, came back at the beginning of the season, and started to shine. Actually, he came back the minute Chalobah got injured, so he almost slotted in. But he's got an injury a couple of weeks ago. He might be back for this weekend. But I think they're probably going to be a bit more cautious of him before rushing him back, let's say, before the international break.
You kind of gotten into, you mentioned Cleverley. I was going to get to that later. You've already gotten there. So people are really, really happy he's back. Is he playing more? He's playing more centrally now, right?
Yeah, he's flipped a little bit depending on where the team's playing.
Okay.
So we play a 4-2-3-1. So he's sort of mainly playing the middle of the three.
Okay.
But actually, the two and him, so the two, what you call slightly further back midfielders, and him, are just a blur in the middle. You know, there isn't that necessarily defined lines or positions, let's say. So he is sort of playing much more centrally. And he does seem to shine very, very well in that position. And I think that also gives him a little bit more... With playing with those other two younger players, it gives him a bit more seniority, which I think sort of helps him, like that gives you different status in a club. So when Pereira is in, he's, I suppose, technically a little bit further back. When Pereira isn't, he's a little bit further forward. But he's being known as the first man to celebrate. So if you look at any picture of Watford celebrating, he's always the first one, or at least behind every single player. So the only time he wasn't first to help celebrate was the one where he did score against Arsenal, and he was celebrating himself.
That's the strangest thing that people have noticed. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I noticed, like, when he was with us, you know, Martinez was playing him more on the wing sometimes. But when he was playing centrally, he was playing more in a two. at certain times, and I don't know. It seems like it makes sense that he would do well in a three. You know.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that, I mean, I don't know what, you know, when you're playing four at the back, those two aren't as dependent on being defensive. And especially when, like I say, there's this blurriness of the three of them,
right.
That frees him up a little bit more, and I think gives him a multiple skilled role that he can sort of shine both in an attacking form and as a playmaker, and also as a scrapper and a scrappy, you know, midfielder.
Right. So, when you've had a good season, I mean, I suppose there have to be some people who are not performing up to expectations. So has anybody actually disappointed, or have there not really been many of those?
God, well, if you didn't see the disappointing foul that Britos did against Brighton, sorry, ninja kick that he did against Brighton, it was horrendous. And as a person, it let us down. I was slightly being let down this year by Holobas, who isn't getting as many yellow cards as he did last year. He was one yellow card away from being the all-time yellow card recipient at the end of last season. So there's that. And I suppose that a slight weakness at the moment is up front. We bought for £18 million, which is a lot of money for Watford. We bought Andre Gray from Burnley. He has scored. He's playing a different role that we didn't have in our squad last year. He is much more, you know, running off the ball. Is much more effective and useful. We just had some big boys up front, you know, previously. And then the biggest boy, the meanest boy of them all, Troy Deeney, he won't be playing on Saturday because right. He now gets 3-match ban. For I think he was just trying to just squeeze a spot on Joe Allen's face. But no, apparently he was really being overly violent. So he's not playing. And again, Troy has been with us for years, gave us the greatest moment a football fan will ever have, and will never be beaten when we scored his goal, very, very last-minute goal against Leicester City in the playoffs
right. For
the 5 years ago now. So he's never going to sort of beat that. And he has scored in the Premier League, but I think he's also struggled a little bit. And him trying to find what is Troy Deeney in the Premier League has been quite hard for him. Right. And he has shone. His performance he put in against Arsenal, where he came on late, he absolutely just, I don't want to say bullied, but he really did show his strength. And I don't know if you saw the quote about do Arsenal have kahunas or not. You know, that's what he is and that's what he plays. And that does feel where he will suit. So we do feel a bit light up front. But we know that actually we are getting goals and shots, just, you know, they're not as dependent, let's say, on the strikers as in different setups might have needed.
Moving on to this weekend, how do you see Watford lining up against us, actually?
Well, I think because of Troy Deeney being banned, we're going to start with Andre Gray up front. The question is, does Pereira start? Mm-hmm. I do say, so the wings will probably be Richarlison and Carrillo. The middle, I think, is, if I was Watford, I don't think I'd risk Pereira straight away, unless he's made a really good. So Cleverley would probably be there, with behind him, Capoue, mm-hmm. Who was really hot and cold last year.
Right.
He's certainly playing for a new contract, I think. So there's him, and then Decore, and then Marco's favoured defence is Holobas on the left, Firmino on the right, and he can bomb down the wing and cause you much trouble and attack as well as defence. And then probably going to be Britos and Cabaselli, the young Belgian player who we've who's really started to shine as well this season. And in goal, Gomez.
Yeah.
So I suspect it's not going to change formation, so it will be a 4-2-3-1. Will probably be the setup.
Yeah, watch Gomez play, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe I can get back out there and play a little more, you know, because he's ageless wonder. The guy just...
Yeah, and been through a lot. And been through a lot of put-downs. And he really sort of, he came down and we had 2 years with him in the Championship. And he, you know, he again, that role where you know he's playing the big brother to a lot of those squads. And I think he's particularly important when it comes to Richarlison. Richarlison is a young Brazilian boy who's come over. And we've had many young players. So we've got another guy called Isaac Success who's come over from Nigeria via Granada, and he doesn't seem to have settled. And it can often be with some young strikers where they just look a little bit too juvenile. But Richarlison isn't. He's really growing, and having that, you must be like an older brother, almost a dad maybe, that he has in Gomez, as well as Marco being Portuguese speaker, because he's from Portugal. That's been a big part of his settling in, and almost that freedom he has. I think he's third in strikes, shots on target in the Premier League. And I always think that's down to pure and utter just confidence in yourself. I think that's literally all he can do, is have pure confidence, and he just wants to strike the ball.
We haven't seen a lot of that at Goodison lately, you know, for our guys in blue lately. Just that's one of the things we actually hear a lot when people send in fan thoughts and whatnot. Actually, the last one, somebody, all they put was, believe in yourself. It was literally the only thing they said. And I was thinking, yeah, the team is not really playing as though they have a lot of belief. So that can be a huge defining characteristic going into a match. I mean, really. That makes a lot of sense, John. Thinking about, you know, Everton, what Everton's probably going to put out there, probably going to do like a 4-3-3. Jagielka and Williams will probably be in the center. Gay and Davies and Banigimi will probably be the mids. And let's see here, probably Rooney, Calvert-Lewin, Morales, and I don't think Vlasic will be out there. Maybe even Aaron Lennon. That's probably the way we're going to. And Baines, of course, and Jonjo Kenning. So if that's what we're throwing out there, let's pretend like it's a 4-3-3. Who do you see your impact players being for Watford this weekend?
Well, it depends. If you're going against a team that you know isn't particularly confident, you're going to go and play your game rather than trying to play a game against them. And when you sort of play, when we played Arsenal particularly, it definitely felt like we changed the formation just slightly to match them. I think we might go off on the front foot. I think we might sort of not necessarily go against, you know, do anything particularly for your guys. And I just think generally the Watford team will do a better against an Everton team just because of that pure confidence and that sort of headspace that both of them are in. I wouldn't say necessarily down to individuals. I think the teams are probably going to be the most telling thing on Sunday.
See, I was thinking more about the fact that, well, we have some slower players that start for us right now. And I think about your team, you got some quick players. You just described a lot of players, and one of their main defining characteristics was speed. I think the only one you didn't really mention for Tom Cleverley, who does have a brain on him. So, you know, despite he plays quickly. He usually doesn't hold on to the ball very long. He plays a lot of one and two touch play. So I feel like Watford's going to play quickly against a team that may. So I'm curious as to whether Unsworth's going to play any quicker players to counter that, or if he's just going to go my best 11. You know, so it's hard to say.
I mean, it depends what he gets to in terms of playing a game. You know, we played Arsenal and we got the win out of that, and then we play against Stoke, we get an early goal. And they park the bus and make it an awful game of football to watch.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But when you're in a position which they were, where they needed to get wins, that's how you have to win certain games of football. Winning ugly is a part of football. And if Unsworth just needs the win, if he wants to, you know, keep the job, then that's the way he might set them up and might, you know, persuade the players that's the best way to go forward in the long run.
It's possible. It's very possible. In the first half against Chelsea, it kind of looked like I don't think we had any legitimate offensive chances. But then the second half, we looked like a different team. It was strange with the same players. It was a strange, strange tweak. It really was just an attitude. It's crazy. So back to this weekend. What's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I've got to go for convincing 3-0 to Watford.
Ouch.
Two goals by Andre Gray. I'm not going to go realistic. I'm not going to say anything about Everton. I'm just going to go. I'd love to see is Charlton needs another goal. He had an absolute, not a stinker against Chelsea, but he missed a lot of opportunities. Yeah, didn't get one last week. He needs another goal. Andre Gray needs to get the goals going. So don't want to score one, Andre. He needs to score two. Because two will really get him going for the rest of the season. So I'm going to go for at least three. And Gomez ain't going to let nothing in.
So you've heard it here first. John is predicting an absolute battering this weekend. It's probably the first time I've done an opposition view where the opposing fan just flat out says, "We are going to murder you guys."
I'm the optimist on the podcast. I'm not the pessimist. I'm the optimist. That's a bit too optimistic, but I'm going to stick with it.
That's funny. Like I'm usually an optimist as well, but I'm usually predicting like 1-0. And because of the state of way things are from us right now. So, yeah. Oh, well, okay. So, switching gears just a little bit. Here's a non-football question. I mentioned to you when we were talking earlier that that I'm a filmmaker, you know, make the movies and stuff. So, I'm asking everybody once we come on, what's your favorite movie?
You have to go... There's my favourite movie of my childhood, and that's Star Wars. Then there's one of my favourite movies of recent years, then it's going to be something like Guardians of the Galaxy, just for the fun and the hoopla and the feeling that had that I was a child again. But the sort of favourite film ever, because I want to come across as cool more than anything, is Outsight with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez. I love George Clooney.
Yeah.
But that's the only Jennifer Lopez film I like.
I might agree with that. I don't know if I've seen one where I actually am a fan. I mean, she's always...
What I also love about that film is that actually it wasn't massive, it wasn't huge, and people don't talk about it, so it feels a bit special to me. That sort of thing that you'd watch it and it's like, oh, I remember going to see that film, I loved that film, but no one really talks about it. And normally when people ask the question, what's your favourite film? They always go on about obvious films like Shawshank Redemption, which is a great film, but I'm going to go with Outside.
See, that tells me so much about your personality. It really does. You know, I didn't see Outside until it was out on video. I didn't even think about watching it when it was in the theaters. But it's action, but it's also got some wit, you know. It's a clever film.
Yeah. It's the characters more than anything that they sort of bring out of it. I think that's what I love about it the most.
So funny. Yeah, that's good. This tells me a lot about John. I mean, really, that's great. Yeah. So not at all what I expected. Several answers I did not expect this time. That was great. I love it. I love when everybody gives me something against type, you know, because when you said Star Wars, I was just like. I do like Star Wars. I do. You know, it's cool. I watched it when I was little. I mean, I think I saw Jedi in the theater. You know, and Guardians I saw in the theater. I think that's. I really wish I could show it to my 5-year-old, but I can't yet. You know, not yet. But he has totally seen Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah.
And I had to explain. It's such a complicated plot to explain to a 5-year-old. It's literally every 5 minutes. So, okay, that's the Empire, and here's what they
did. Because I don't remember a kid. I don't really remember trying to remember.
I didn't care.
And what's going on. You just wanted to see the funny android droids. Then you wanted to see Han Solo. He's the greatest character ever. Then you wanted to see the Jedi fight. And you wanted to see the TIE fighters and the X-Wings at the end.
That's all I cared about when I was little.
That was Star Wars. Yeah, that was Star Wars.
But my kid keeps asking, what's happening right now? I mean, it happens when I show him Doctor Who episodes, you know? Every 5 minutes, okay, he's regenerating, man, okay?
Show him Lord of the Rings, then. Do not show him Lord of the Rings, because that's really complicated. My adult sister had to have almost like a little book to help her get through that.
Yeah, but you know what? I've got to do that, too, because I loved the experience of watching those in the theater. That was great. You know, the culture around those films was almost as big as the Star Wars films when they were in theaters, you know? People dressing up and stuff. I didn't. Mm. But I was there opening night. That was a thing. So out of sight, John, with a little bit of a J-Lo, liking the J-Lo, but also maybe a little George Clooney man crush going.
So, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Sweeney Clooney, all about Sweeney Clooney.
this has been a good talk, John. I really want to say thanks a lot for coming on here and talking to me and indulging me in my strange film questions.
That's all right.
But also the Watford education. This definitely, hopefully, will give everybody a little extra to think about when we're playing this weekend.
Yeah, if everyone can remember when the game starts. 4:30, not on television. What's that about?
What makes it even more confusing for me is it actually won't be as bad this weekend, but last weekend, England had already fallen back an hour. Yeah. We had not. So I had been thinking 5 hours difference, but Sunday beyond, it was 4, and it was throwing off my entire week. I'm sitting here filming with people. Okay, we're going to film at 5:30, and I'm waiting here with my lights on and everything. They're not ready because it's not time. So, yeah, that's a thing. Anyway, all right. But thanks so much, John. It's awesome to talk
to you.
That's all right. Hopefully we'll get to talk again later on the season when we play again.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to you. And I'm going to check out your website a little bit more now.
Okay, brilliant.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks, cheers.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. Thanks. So that's it for Toffee Blue Opposition View. If you're liking the videos, subscribe. That'd be awesome. We'd appreciate it. Also, click the little thumbs up and comment, because we'd love to hear from you, getting to know who everybody is and what they have to say. Anyway, but that's it. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time. Hopefully Sunday goes well. Bye-bye.